So today we are approaching the fourth candle of his coming. And of course, it's the candle of joy. Somebody has made an acronym out of joy. J-O-Y stands for Jesus, others, and yourself last. I did not have joy in my life. I grew up in church, and it was not a joyful experience for me. I ended up in my teenage years, as I have shared over the last few weeks, as I went back to my high school youth group reunion, where my life was totally transformed. And I told you how a very nonverbal, introverted, depressed, despairing of life teenager called out to God and said, "God, if you're really real, make yourself real to me." And heaven came down and glory filled my soul. That is a prayer that the Lord will answer. If you're really real, Lord, make yourself real to me. And my mother, who died at an early age from lung cancer, actually, as a school teacher, she was in the teacher's lounge, and they say that secondhand smoke is often worse than firsthand smoke. And she was diagnosed with lung cancer. The doctor rebuked her when she said, "How could I get lung cancer?" And he said, "You smokers, you smoke all your life, and then you wonder why you get lung cancer." She says, "I've never smoked a cigarette in my life." So my mother turned to me towards the end of her life. She was on her deathbed, and she said to me, "Greg, I want to thank you for bringing joy back into our house." Because what I had been doing is I had been listening to all the world's music, the secular music. Me and my friends would wait for the newest albums to come out, and we would just imbibe them. We'd go to the concerts, we'd play their music, and it was just, my soul was longing for something, but it was in great anguish. I was living in paradise. I could go out, pick mangoes and coconuts and lilikoi and limes and lemons and papayas, mangoes, I think I said mangoes. And in 5 minutes, I could be down at the top 10 beach destination. Hey, Greg. Okay. Maybe, thank you. So my mother, what happened was when I came home from Ken Mitchell is deaf, and so he doesn't realize, but we're not going to worry about that, right? Okay, because my wife's doing double duty. She's doing the PowerPoint as well as the, she can't do both, sign language. So what happened was that I was so full of joy that I pulled out an old album from my dad's collection of the gospel airs. These gospel singers singing these old gospel songs. And I was dancing around the living room to these songs of joy. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. And so my mother walks in and she goes, this was the answer to her prayer. Her son had been filled with joy. And my life psalm, which we're going to put up on the screen, is Psalms 116. And here in Psalms 116, verses 3 through 7, describes my life story. The psalmist says, verse 3 of Psalms 116, "The pains of death surrounded me. The pangs of Sheol got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. So it was there that the Lord filled me with his Spirit 50 years ago, and I've never been the same. And now you can't stop me from talking because I just won't stop. Okay, so I am going to share with you three points in the Christmas story where joy breaks out in an amazing way. And the first one takes place at the announcement, also known as the Annunciation. And this is found in Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 56. So take your Bibles, turn with me, Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 1, verses 39 through 56. Mary has been overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. She is pregnant with Jesus, and she goes to visit, because this pregnancy is out of wedlock. Obviously, she's the talk of the town, and so she kind of goes into seclusion, and she goes to visit Elizabeth, who is her cousin, who is also pregnant 6 months ahead of her. So, it says, "Now Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste to a city of Judah. And she entered into the house of Zacharias," which means the Lord remembers, "and greeted Elizabeth." The Lord remembered Zacharias and Elizabeth, and in their old age, just like Abraham and Sarah, they gave birth to John the Baptist. She was barren up until that point. So this was a miracle as well. "And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe," this is John the Baptizer, "leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit." And I think John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit as well. Now, Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He went to the Jordan. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He came out of the Jordan into the wilderness and came out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Conceived, filled, and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Well, when she spoke out with a loud voice and said, so she's going to prophesy here, folks. She's a prophetess. "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Now, part of the Church of the West has adopted this as one of their things that they use oftentimes. Why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord," now let's take that phrase, "the mother of my," hey, how are you doing? This is my good friend from Safeway. How are you doing?
Carl,
I knew. Carl and Greg are brothers. Carl put my groceries in my grocery bag. That's right, good, thank you. Let's everybody say hi, Carl.
Hi,
Greg. That Greg over there, yeah, his brother. Okay, so look at that phrase. "The mother of my Lord." Now wait, "the mother of my Lord" is the Lord, is Jesus Christ the Lord God? Yeah. And she says, "the mother of my Lord who is God," the mother of God. Okay, this is where they get that theology, the mother of God. Okay, "how is it that it would be granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for"
what?
"Joy." Oh, that's what was happening to me. I was leaping throughout the living room with joy. I, the depressed, nonverbal, suicidal, distressed of life, got filled with the Holy Spirit, and I've never been the same. And he offers that to anybody who
who obeys him. The Bible says in Acts 5:32, God gives his Holy Spirit to those who obey him. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. And that's actually the verse that I wrote on my girlfriend's card that convinced her that she should wait for me. It took me a little while. I didn't get married till I was 36. I was kind of slow on the draw. Anyway, then Mary... So Elizabeth prophesies, and then Mary prophesies. And this is called the Magnificat. And we're not going to read that, because that was the first... was the Annunciation with Mary and Elizabeth. And the second one, I think you're all familiar with. Let's go to this. It's the Angels' Chorus. So this is how we're doing this. If I can get a good pen here. We have the first one's the announcement, right? And then the second one is the Angels' Chorus. Now, I think you're all familiar with that because we're probably going to sing this song in a little bit. And here it is in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. Now, there were in the same country. Mary has brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in a swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out on the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, what's the first thing that comes out of an angel's mouth? Fear not. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Could you say it with a little bit of enthusiasm? Good tidings of great
joy.
That was good. Good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Not just the Jews, not just the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but to every nation, every tribe, every tongue, and every people, according to Revelation 5:9 and 7:9. For there is born to you this day in the city of David, Bethlehem, house of bread, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, folks, the curtain of heaven is drawn back and we get to see a legion of angels singing glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good men, goodwill towards men. And the newer versions like the NIV say glory to God in the highest and peace on earth upon those whom his favor dwells. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, now let us go to Bethlehem and see the thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste, and they came with
joy.
Okay, so we're going to, what's our three-letter word for this Christmas?
Joy.
Let's do it. Okay, what's the third one? The third one begins with an A as well, because we are going to go to the temple. It's day 8, and there in the temple is a lady named Anna, and she is so excited that she does a woman at the well proclamation and tells everybody. So let's go there. This is Luke chapter 2. We're still in the book of Luke, 21 and following. Now, this is the 8-day circumcision. When the 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb.
That's the angelic Gabriel instruction to Mary.
You will call his name Jesus, which is the Greek word for Savior, Yeshua.
Deliverer
is the Hebrew. Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now, when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb, this is the firstborn son, shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, that was for those who couldn't afford a lamb or a goat. What does this tell us about Mary and Joseph? This guy's a carpenter. He's really low on the food chain, okay? He's right down here. He's a laborer. We got white-collar Christians. We got blue-collar Christians. And we have people like me, ring around the collar Christians. Okay, so he's down there, you know, as a laborer. And so they bring forth two turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout. I'm reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 25. Waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit, there he is, the unseen player in the nativity story. What? The Holy Spirit was upon him. I'm just, everywhere I go this Christmas, I'm seeing the role of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. Mary prophesies by the Holy Spirit. Simeon is here now, and the Holy Spirit's playing a role in his life. The Holy Spirit was upon Simeon, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now, that's pretty amazing. He got a special revelation. We call this a heavy Rebbe, right, Elwood? He got a special revelation that he would get to see the advent of the Lord. The first coming is prophesied by the prophets. And so he came by the Spirit into the temple. So this guy is watching. He's waiting. He's working. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, this guy's walking in the Spirit, folks. He took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the nations, the Gentiles, and the glory of your people, Israel, Jew and Gentile alike. And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things which were spoken of them. That's pretty good. You go to church, and the Holy Spirit shows up. You get a visitation from an angel. Okay? Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined. Listen to this prophecy, Simeon. This child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Wow. This is heavy. If you've seen the Passion of the Christ, you know that's not just a movie about Jesus' passion. It's also a movie about his mother's passion. Yes, a sword will pierce through your soul also, that the thoughts of many people may be revealed. Folks, this is the origin of Jesus' words. I did not come to bring peace, but I came to bring a sword. And you can put that sword in the hand of the thief, and he'll come and steal and kill and destroy. You can put it in the hands of the great physician, and he'll heal that division. I'm praying that the Lord will heal the division in our country and in our city. Now, there was one Anna. Anna is Greek for good, gracious. The Hebrew is Hannah. Remember? She was a prophetess. So we've got a prophet in Simeon. We've got a prophetess in Anna, a daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. I've been thought to be of the tribe of Asher. It could be. I don't know. I'm Asher. Ashtree. Hello. She was of great age. Listen to this, Peter. These are two senior citizens, part of the Nativity Christmas story, okay? They're front and center, right? Not a time to retire. About 80, let's see, this woman was a widow of about 84 years. Now, here's a little math problem. Challenge. She had been a widow about 84 years who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayer night and day. You remember that Paul gives instructions to those who are widows indeed? He said, don't put anybody on the list unless they're a widow indeed, having been a widow from the time of their spouse's death. And so this woman was supported by the church. She was supported by the temple. She lived there. She was, she was fulfilling David's words. Oh, that I might be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. Oh, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And she did. And she'd been doing this for 84 years with fasting and prayers night and day. And she comes in at that instant. She gives thanks to the Lord. She sees Simeon holding the baby, prophesying, and she goes everywhere, telling everyone, and spoke of Jesus to all who would, for all who looked for the redemption in Jerusalem.
I mean, this was kind of like the woman at the well who told the whole town, come and see a man who told me everything I've done. Anna goes everywhere announcing this coming of the Messiah.
What's our three-letter word?
Joy.
Let me hear it loud.
Joy.
So, Christmas is a time of
joy.
Amen. One more. Helen. Everybody say hi, Helen. Okay, one more.
Now we're not going to read the scripture here, but because you all know the story. Now, what did we know about Mary and Joseph? He's a carpenter, so he's a blue collar worker.
And he has to make a journey
to Bethlehem because Caesar demanded the whole world be taxed. So he has to pay the fare and the cost of a journey from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. Somebody in the room probably knows how many miles that is.
And then he's there. He needs to provide for his family. At the eighth day, all he can afford is two turtle doves or two pigeons for his offering. He's not bringing a lamb. He's not got those resources.
And lo and behold, we don't know the time. We know from Scripture that the wise men came to a house. So he's now rented a room in the town where he couldn't find space. Okay, how many of you know, we have some homeless people in the house, okay? You know why? Because we lost 30,000 structures in five fire seasons.
Tract homes are going for $1 million to $3 million. I know this because my neighbors sold their house in Marin and buying a house outright, pumping
close to $100,000 into it outright. And what's that doing to the cost of living here on the coast?
This is what's making the weather shelter so important, because we have a lot of people that have been pushed out. We had a visitor, I met her on the plane,
Dr. Liz Hart. We greeted her. She's not a believer.
She attends a church
in Marin, a Unity Church of Marin. And I told her that we were positioning ourselves to be an evacuee center,
a storehouse of provision. Rance Miller's been kind of leading the way on Coast Network links, getting people get some ham communication, and that we were going to be taking our back lot, which is undeveloped, and trying to develop it so that we don't have to pay property taxes. We don't have to pay property taxes as a church on developed property, but undeveloped property, we pay $1,300 a year for that in property taxes. And so we want to do something with the backyard. And one of the ideas that came up was to plant some trees. As soon as I said that, 5 hours later, we have this friend. She came up, came and surveyed our property, making some recommendations. And you know what? Val, how old would you say Dr. Liz Hart is?
Probably.
Yeah. Older lady living in her car. We met her on the flight to Hawaii. Had a wonderful time. We hosted in her home. She prepared our meal for our servant leaders, and she came to yesterday's presentation with Tony Huerta about a shelter that he's opened up in Ukiah, a day shelter. And so, folks, there are some she's got her own website, very influential people that are living in their vehicles. She says, I'm not homeless, I'm home free. So that's what do you think of that? Home free?
Yeah.
Is that a good one? You like that one? Home free? Okay. So
these wise men, now here's something I discovered, and this was confirmed by a very, possibly today's greatest biblical scholar. When Daniel ascended in Babylon to the right hand of the king of Babylon, he put him over all of the satraps, all of the magi of Babylon. Now, what do you think? Which text, if you were Daniel, who is listed by Ezekiel as one of the three most righteous men in all the earth, Noah, Job, and Daniel? Now, it's pretty easy to be righteous when you've been castrated, right? I mean, just think of all the temptation that comes in the sexual arena. I mean, Daniel had, and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So Daniel is put over all the, and the Greek word in the book of Daniel for the wise men is magi. And the word appears again in today's text in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And the magi have seen his star. Now, where'd they get that? The prophecy of the patriarch over his 12 sons. A star will rise in the east. So wise men, magi from the east, Babylon is east of Judah, they come bearing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, if you were a blue-collar worker, you'd just spend all your money on a trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem, and you've rented a home, and the magi show up. All you can afford is two turtle doves, and they show up with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Folks, that was one of the most joyful Christmases ever. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
How many of you would like to have some gold, frankincense, and myrrh under your tree this Christmas? Okay. There it is. I made my point. And then what happens? Herod hears that there's a competing king. And what? As all the baby boys of Bethlehem slaughtered. And the angel, Gabriel, okay, we know there's three angels in the Bible. We have their names. We have Michael, Mikael, who is as God. We have Gabriel, man of God, El. Anytime you have E-L in a name, it's short for Elohim, the generic name of creator God. And Lucifer. And we know that Lucifer was an archangel, and a third of the angels are in chains. So I'm thinking, okay, we know three archangels. I'm thinking, if Lucifer's got a third, and Gabriel's an archangel, and Michael's an archangel, then Michael has a third of the angels as the warrior angel, and Gabriel as the messenger angel, he's got a third of the angels, and those third of the angels were part of the Bethlehem chorus. What do you think of that? Now that's just, what do they call that? That's just supposition, okay? But it's reasoned. So they show up with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And I'll just read that real quickly to you. And here it is in Matthew chapter 2. We're told that they show up with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And don't you think it might be fun to sing that song right now? What's the song I'm thinking of? Is it in the book? Who was going to suggest we sing We Three Kings? Thank you, River. River Spirit, can we do it? We Three Kings of Orion are. This is a song of profound. Now, the reason we suppose there was three kings was because there's three gifts. But we don't know, and tradition tells us their names, but we suspect there was a whole entourage that came. Folks, this is the ancient Magi. There you go. There's an N in there. The ancient Magi, referred to in Daniel. Wow. Let me just tell you, folks, what does this spell? J-O-Y. Let's all stand and sing We Three Kings of Orient Are. Is it in the book? Somebody, 166.